Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Welcome to the Feed Your Wild podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Rodriguez, your intuitive nourishment guide today and every episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome back if you are a returning listener, and welcome to all the newbies. If this is your first time listening, I am especially grateful you found us. This is a moon musing episode. These are solo episodes where I cover new and full moons and we dive into the astrology, the energy, energetics, and some plant allies that can help support us, as well as anything else that wants to come through these really special episodes. Today we are covering the Virgo full moon that is arriving tomorrow at the time that this podcast episode is released, February 24th, 2024. This is the last full moon for the astrological year. And this is the last full moon before dun, 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 eclipse season begins. I think I'm probably going to be too lazy to add an actual echo effect. So if you can just imagine that happening. Before we dive into today's episode, I did want to say that I have a few spots left open in my one-on-one Akashic mentorship for healers. And you can do 3 month, 6 month, or a 12 month option with this. It's called Awaken the Oracle Within. This is a mentorship for tapping into your next level intuitive gifts as an oracle with crystal clarity in your highest purpose as healer and light worker. Work with the Akasha and divine support to spread your wings and create your soul's body of healing work with me in your back pocket. This is truly soul therapy, but also calling in the soul of your work. If you've been on this path for a minute, you're in transition yourself, you know you want to show up in a way that is more aligned and more connected to your divine gifts. This is the path of emergence. You will walk out of this mentorship not only with more self-confidence as an Akashic Record reader and channeler and oracle, but with clarity when it comes to your unique body of work. This is a transformative journey that, yes, will take you through the necessary deaths and guide you toward expansive rebirth. You have done so much work in the chrysalis, cleared so much out that wasn't meant for you to come forward, and now it's time to step up and out. I'm closing applications next week, March 1st, or when spots fill up, whichever comes first. So if you are feeling curious, on fire, or just want to explore this a little bit more, I encourage you to go to wildlyrooted.com/oracle, read more about it, and reach out to me. Send in your application, DM me on Instagram, I'm at wildlyrooted, and let's chat about it. I'm calling in those clients that I have a soul contract with, and I cannot wait to work with you and support you in the highest way. All links are in the show notes, by the way, of course. Now back to today's moon musing. We are covering this full moon, of course, but we have also entered Pisces season. Welcome, love my healing, sensitive, dreamy, kind, emo, Piscean folk. We have many Pisceans in my container, the group mentorship that I have, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner pathway, which is for intuitive healers. And so you can imagine lots of Piscean energy going on over there. And of course, in my one-on-one mentorships as well, I seem to attract those that have just highly sensitive and spiritual charts. So welcome. There's probably a lot of you listening too. And I'm giving you a big, big, big hug. I'm excited because Pisces season for me is also, it's another chance to reflect on the past astrological year, because of course, in astrology, in Western tropical astrology, Aries is the first astrological sign. It's the launch of the new year and new cycle in terms of astrology. And Pisces, ruler of the 12th house, is the final and last sign connected to the feet when it comes to medical astrology and the body. So looking at the past year and even these past couple of months and really reflecting on what do I need to process, you know, like, I mean, there's a lot, right? But really riding these energies and these waves of this sensitive and dreamy and altruistic Piscean energy, really in that compassion, really allowing us to process and integrate some things that maybe were a little bit more challenging. So we've had some spaciousness to be with all of it. And now I feel like this full moon, especially coming up, is going to be like a culmination point or a highlighting of something. We'll get into Virgo, of course, and the energetics of this full moon, but I kind of want to set the tone and also go over a couple of astrological moves that occurred prior to this Virgo full moon. And I want to start with first Mars energy, then we'll go into Venus energy. So Mars entering Aquarius. This is happening February 13th. And then the next day, Mars playing around with Pluto in Aquarius. So that's an interesting one because Mars, you know, if Mars really feels like, well, fiery, Mars energy is very much connected to like willpower, motivation, fieriness, independence, boundaries, like for sure boundaries, discord as well, you know, but like elevated discord, I would say, in its highest expression, so that we can have contrast in order to know how to be in alignment. How do we know ourselves if we don't have contrast? So that's where the gift of Mars can really come in. But Mars here entering Aquarius and then conjuncting Pluto and, you know, playing with Pluto energy. Pluto is the higher octave energy of Mars. And so they're both linked to power in some way. And there's something here about both of those energies in Aquarius. It's kind of like getting us riled up for movement as it pertains to freedom and supporting the liberation of the collective, you know, and looking at power dynamics. Absolutely. So we got that energy going on. And that kind of really initially taking place on Valentine's Day. And then on the 16th, and then we'll go into 17th, the following day, Venus starts to come in. And so, of course, there's these polarities, right? Mars and Venus and how they complement and contrast each other. You could say the yin and yang, the divine feminine, divine masculine, and discord versus harmony. So Venus is really a representative of harmony and coherence. And Venus then enters Aquarius. And the very next day, Venus conjuncts Pluto. Okay, so we have these mirroring energies, but on different spectrums. So I think it's so interesting this is happening. very shortly, one after another, with Venus conjunct Pluto in Aquarius, I feel like this is really connected to looking at transformation within relationship and resources. Of course, Venus very much connected to resources and beauty. And yes, so money under resources, but also, of course, love and harmony and relationships and all of that. So there's something about, again, a different kind of power play, I would say, this sort of freedom versus control. Are those even opposite one another, or are they against one another, or is it much more nuanced than that? And looking at safety within either of those and perceived safety. But I feel like there definitely is some pretty intense energies happening around all of this in Aquarius energy, this transformation that is possible in our relatings and our resources. We have then Mercury squaring Uranus. So Mercury, the planet of communication, this feels in Uranus, the ruler or the modern ruler of Aquarius, this feels like really brilliant ideas. You know, it's like thinking out of the box, thinking really innovative ways of communicating and thinking and ideating. And so this energy can really help support you with projects that you might be working on. And Uranus being in Taurus, and of course Mercury being in Aquarius, we have this energy of like, well, we can bring those brilliant ideas into the material realm. We can express them with Taurus, like actually make them happen here on Earth. And perhaps they're also around Taurian and Aquarian themes. So if we think about those as well. Then we have the sun entering Pisces, which I just mentioned. So Pisces season. And we also have Chiron. So I just wanted to mention Chiron here because before I forget, because as we sort of connect in with that healer archetype of Pisces, we also see that, of course, with Chiron. Chiron is very much the wounded healer, the teacher, and here to support our collective healing and looking at our wounds and really tending to those wounds so that we can transform them into our greatest gifts. Well, on the 19th, right after we enter Pisces season, Chiron dances with the North Node, which is in Aries. So this can possibly bring us, so the North Node, this is our collective North Node, right? This is sort of like where the arrow is pointing, where we're all headed together. And we might get a glimpse of a bigger issue around healing when it comes around time for our solar eclipse in April. So it's kind of like a preview, if you will. That's what it feels like to me. There can be themes running connected to illness, of course, amplification of illness, but also victim consciousness. So looking at how we might be playing the victim, and you know, this could be totally unconsciously, which I think very often it is, but also where we're not claiming our power. This seems to be a running theme in the circles that I'm running too. So I think there's a lot of wounding around power in general. And I think I'm really feeling that, especially with the North Node in Aries, and of course, Mars ruling Aries, and then Chiron conjunct the North Node, we're starting to feel into those wounds around assertion of boundaries, like boundary setting and assertiveness, healthy assertiveness even, right? And of course, with anything that has to do with really establishing our independence and claiming our power. So take a look at your relationship to power. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, because it came up a few times inside of my WIP container, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. I think that there's a lot of, in general, wounding around power, but also sort of like an invitation to redefine what power really means. Like, what's the higher octave of power? And tuning into that. Because I think it's, we're really going to need it where we're going, literally, like North Node in Aries. So then we're moving into February 21st, and we see Venus. So we're coming back to Venus. Venus conjunct Mars in Aquarius. So first, you know, Mars came in, did a little dance with Pluto. Then we had Venus come in, did a little dance with Pluto. And now we have Venus and Mars dancing in Aquarius. So this feels like a coming together. You know, this actually feels really good. This feels like potential ideas that want to come through, that creative life force energy from Venus that gets to be crystallized and given that spark, given that motivation, given that energy and power that it needs to crystallize and come into being. So new creative endeavors might spark during this time. It's going to happen over around 4 days. So Venus conjuncts Mars until the 24th. So until the full moon. And the way that I also feel into this is like those energies coming together, those complementary energies coming together in joint effort in order to move forward in those Aquarian themes of collective healing. So this feels extra special to me. And I held an Akashic Practitioner Practicum call. So inside of WIP, that's the 9-month group mentorship and mastermind program I have for healers and practitioners. We have monthly Akashic Practitioner Practicum circles. This is where we have students come in. We get to open up the records. I have specific themes that are channeled in from our guides. And then we get to practice reading with one another. So it's really beautiful, collaborative, safe environment for cross-pollination and just really honing one's craft, right? Of essentially being an oracle for yourself and for others. And we had one of these calls, and it was on the 21st, and we got two cards and a channeling that came in that, man, hits the bullseye on this energy of Venus and Mars and also Aquarius, Aquarian energy. So I'll get to that in a moment. I want to share some insights from that. But I also want to get into this full moon. So let me get into the full moon, and then we'll get into some special channelings and plant allies. And then, of course, the medical astrology portion for Virgo. So Virgo full moon. This feels like a special placement in our timeline where, of course, full moons have a lot of this purging energy, so to speak. There's a lot that you can clear with it. There is illumination of things, so it's things coming up and out. Even when we think about physically, we see that really good times for doing a parasite cleanse revolves around the full moon. So there's a lot of really good energy for purging and clearing, and especially when it comes to Virgo. And this, we're going to look at this on different levels, right? And of course, I brought in intentionally touching in on parasites and the digestive system because Virgo rules the digestive system. And we'll see how that can be impacted. But when we're looking at this moon, we have Pisces, of course, is opposite Virgo. So we have the sun in Pisces, and we have the moon in Virgo, and this is 5 degrees of Virgo. So check your chart see where 5 degrees of Virgo falls, and we can begin to tune into the energies of Virgo, which is mutable earth, very adaptable, ruled by Mercury. And with that, it's ruling the body and health, especially gut health and gut-brain connection and the microbiome. Virgo's about the minutiae, the minute, looking at minute things, bringing a magnifying glass to things, literally and figuratively. And so looking at those realms, we also see within Pisces season, Pisces is connected to the immune system and the fluids of the body, so blood and lymph. So really looking at the body in this way, but also look at your life and the way that you walk in your life and show up in your life. So looking at what's working and what's not working, and allowing this moon in this season to bring us and illuminate new understandings and solutions that are available to us now. And Virgo, being adaptable, is going to try everything and anything, right, to make the thing work. And so we might find things that we've overlooked, or we just have a more capacity to bring a magnifying glass to areas that maybe we hadn't before. But overall, I feel like looking at our life and also our body as altars, as temples, right? So the temple that is your body, but also the altar that is your body, and a literal altar or a temple that you create or that you go to. Looking at these and tending to them, like clearing out stagnant energy, reassessing, setting some new intentions in terms of like what you'll be releasing in order to create space for something else to come through for you. What are the lessons that are illuminated for you here through the light of this moon? And then starting to reassemble that altar, that temple space, and your body so that it really reflects your highest prayer. So with that, I think very much treating your body as temple, of course, and acknowledging what gifts does your body hold? What beauty do you hold? Really illuminating that for yourself, celebrating that. And almost like the goddess, right? So if we think about even Virgo with the Virgin and thinking about that level of energy in connection with goddess and goddess worship, adorning the goddess, you know, creating an altar for the goddess. I've been doing a lot of work around the goddess, the doorway to Shakti, and connecting with these energies. And so it's been a practice of altar work and prayer and mantra and chanting. And I sort of renewed, because I used to do this a long time ago. I had practice and then I took a break from it, and goddess really called me back. And, you know, speaking to me in many different ways, speaking to me even through clients that I work with who have very active practices and relationships with the goddess. But I think I even told one person who I'm in a really lovely group where we're doing work around this. And I told somebody that, you know, the goddess has been tapping me on the shoulder and I've been pretending that I've been busy for the past like decade. And it's just so funny because we can pretend that we're busy, but like the ultimate expression of life is through the energy of goddess, right? Like she is Shakti, life force, creative life force energy. And so to pretend that we are sort of busy to really commune in a conscious and active way with that energy is not only silly and futile, but I think ultimately it's just a detriment to one's own experience. Because I think that these beautiful energies, that Shakti, goddess, life force energy is here for all of us. It's like that divine mother love that wants to give us everything. So what is it within us? And I'm speaking, of course, for myself, but I know that many that I connect with in my own circles have also experienced this or shared this with me. What is it in us that is resisting and denying that invitation or receiving that into our being, that level of energy, that level of power? That's power. Powerful when you connect in with that. So that's what I'm thinking really about this full moon in Virgo is how can we remember the holiness of our bodies, the holiness of our ability to create an altar, whether it is an actual physical altar or something that setting our space energetically that helps to facilitate the highest expression of our life to come through. So again, with this full moon, we're looking at completion and illumination. So what needs to go? What needs to go? And looking at the area where this full moon is falling in your chart can be helpful and an indication of some illuminations that might occur, some completions, and what things you might need to let go of. We also have Mercury, the messenger, as I mentioned, that is active and pretty strong around this full moon. And Mercury rules Virgo, so that energy is going to be heightened. So really thinking about what information, what sources and resources, wisdom keepers, can we tap into to support us both internally and externally, our inner and outer worlds. Now, Mercury, I mentioned, is in Pisces, and Mercury doesn't really like being in Pisces because Pisces is like dreamy and nebulous and boundaryless and watery. And Mercury is like data and communication and accounting and, you know, speaking and translating. But in Pisces, it can't really do that in the same way. Like it can't be as precise or accurate. It takes a little bit more of this, a shapeless form or like a mythic and storytelling form, which isn't necessarily bad, but it may not heed the same level of precise insight or like communication in that way. So just bringing some awareness to that, I think, is important. You probably want to look at where the early degrees of Pisces in your chart is, because Saturn entered Pisces in the spring of last year, and it's moving into 9 degrees of Pisces now. So Saturn in Pisces is, you can go back and listen to some of my other moon musings where I talk about Saturn entering Pisces. And really, it's kind of like the dream work coming into being, you know, like making your dreams reality. And it can be incredible focus. It could be illuminating something that maybe you need to see that you weren't able to see. It can also assist with the dying of something that needs to go away. So Saturn active under this full moon, while it can feel heavy, and because Saturn can feel a bit heavy and Saturn slows things up, right? But it does so we can do the things correctly, properly. It's supporting us in that way. Slow is fast. And we might feel maybe there's extra responsibility or extra work, but it's also having us look at like that sort of paternal kind of energy and like the highest expression of that paternal energy to come to our senses, you know, like to get more aligned with who we are and what we are here to do. Well, that's what Saturn return is really all about, right? And I would say, especially when it comes to our health, a Virgo full moon. So I feel like, you know, this full moon is really leading us. It's kind of like cleaning house and preparing us for what's to come with eclipse season and what's to come with some important aspects and conjunctions that are going to start to happen. And it could give us some clues and details of what lies ahead. We also, now moving away from this full moon, I just want to touch a little bit on some dates after the full moon. We have, on the 28th of February, we have Mercury conjunct Saturn in Pisces, and then we have the Sun conjunct Saturn in Pisces the same day. This really feels like, you know, when we have these conjunctions, it feels like this is karmic. This is karmic. This feels like a really significant lesson or like a choice point, and probably a tough one, a tough choice point. Because again, Saturn in Pisces is not Mercury in Pisces. Like I said, Mercury doesn't really like to be in Pisces. And yet we have these sort of astute energies with Mercury and Saturn in Pisces at play, and then the Sun conjuncting Saturn in Pisces, which really feels to me like you're the light within you, that inner authority and power coming in and connecting in with that very deeply. Also, like exploring that through the emotional realms and the psychic realms, which is very connected to Pisces. So I said I was going to share a couple of channelings and plant allies that came through in our most recent Akashic Practitioner Practicum circle. And I felt that this message wasn't just for those inside of WIP. This is more of a larger collective field that we were tapping into. And I know that this is very true for me. The morning of the call that I was going to lead, so before I was leading the call, I was looking for tea tree oil for something completely different. And I had been thinking, oh, I need to find this tea tree oil for this specific thing, like for months. For some reason, I waited on looking for it. Well, on that day, I finally decided to go look for it. And when I went upstairs, I went into my little cabinet collection of tinctures and essential oils and all that. I found my tea tree, but then I also found my mugwort flower essence that was actually gifted to me by a previous guest on the podcast years ago. And I was like, oh, this is really calling my attention. I feel like I need to take this out. Maybe there's something here for me. It is Pisces season after all, right? Well, then we go into our call, and I always tune in and channel and pull some cards before we hop on the call so that we have some themes and questions to explore and workshop together. First card that came through was mugwort. Mugwort really connected to dream work, psychic healing, the liminal space, clairvoyance, foresight. And in times of transition, and like even when you're feeling like you're living multiple realities or multidimensionally, very Piscean. It's ruled by Moon and the Neptune. Neptune rules Pisces, of course. And we have our Moon. So I thought this was so perfect today because part of Mugwort's gifts is not just in the mystical realms, really supporting our intuition and dreams and unconscious mind, and really allowing us to connect to our higher consciousness. But it also, through the moon, in connection with the moon, it represents our emotional body, right? As well as the physical body, but the shadow self and the underworld. And so mugwort can really help support us in moving through these darker sides of these realms, which can be connected to illusions and fear and disconnection and disorientation, like feeling like you don't know where you're going or that you have these parasitic energies. Mugwort is a natural anti-parasitic, and it's also been utilized in magic work as a protective plant and ally, helping to protect against evil spirits and parasitic energies and all of that. So I talked about parasites earlier, remember, and these parasitic energies, but also mugwort being really supportive as a bitter herb and a tonic for the stomach and intestinal conditions, including any kind of parasitic issues and weak digestion, which we can see with Virgo. And I'll go into more of the medical astrology aspects of Virgo. But we can see mugwort as being really supportive for that. And the moon is very much connected to the stomach and the gut in general, as well as the fluids in the body. And mugwort in this way is really helping us on all levels to tap into our deep, deep knowing and our psychic powers, to orient ourselves, to reorient ourselves and find, you know, kind of like that true north, which can be challenging sometimes when we feel lost in that liminal space. And of course, doing so with a lot of protection, and helping us to eradicate or transmute and transform any forces that feel heavier or destructive or parasitic in nature. On a personal note, I'm in a big, big transitional phase in my own life and on all levels of my life. And I feel like mugwort as an ally is going to be really helpful. I think anybody in a really deep transitional phase, you know, there's going to be those times when we just feel lost. We feel directionless, like we're deep in the ocean and you're like turned upside down all around. You don't know which way is up or down. And so in those moments, it's easy to panic. It's easy to feel stuck and to like feel all of the anxiety and the tension in our bodies, holding our breath. And mugwort is here to provide that reconnection to psychic and emotional directionality in a way that is also highly protective. So I'm going to be working with mugwort flower essence. I'll report back how things are going with that. I know that I'm entering some realms, you know, as I move even deeper into my spiritual work. I'm moving into realms where, and this is true for all people on the spiritual path and awakening path, right? But also especially for healers, those even who work like with magic, integrity is not just key, but it's fundamental. It's absolutely necessary. And so if you are not in integrity in some aspect of your life, it could be any part of your life, it's going to show up in your practice. It's going to show up in your healing work, in your business, in your magical practice. And so we have to be so vigilant in the best way, right? Like, I'm not talking about hypervigilance. I'm talking about healthy vigilance. We need to be vigilant about staying in integrity with ourselves and in alignment as much as possible. And that requires a lot of shadow work, right? That requires up-leveling and looking at where we are resisting or holding ourselves back and doing really deep work to shift those. So in the future, I will share a lot of the work that I'm doing currently. I don't think it's actually beneficial to share while you're in the middle of it because there's a lot of processing and integration. But I'm sure I will share. But what I will say is that while I enter these really deep realms and sort of like spiritual exploration and expansiveness of my own capacity and abilities, we meet with new levels of consciousness and awareness and energy, entities and beings and all of that. We need to have such a high reverence for our own being and self and commitment to ourself and know ourselves, like know thyself. And that is the highest form of protection. And then, of course, we can bring in all these allies like, you know, mugwort and anything else that you're feeling called. There's a lot of protection, magic and allies and prayers and all of that, that, of course, you can weave in. And we talk about spiritual hygiene and protection inside of WIP, actually, because it's a really important part of the intuitive healer's journey. So we have some lessons on that, my perspective, and we have some guest teachers that are really, really phenomenal, providing tools and all of that. So if you're interested in any of that, I welcome you to check out WIP and to apply if you feel called. But it becomes a non-negotiable when this is your life's work. So I feel like this full moon in Virgo is also kind of highlighting where we might be playing at like a lower level. Where are you meant to do like calculus, but you're still fucking around with the addition and subtraction, you know, or the multiplication table when you're meant to be doing calculus? Where in your life are you doing that? And how are you justifying that? Where are you discounting yourself? And how can you take ownership and reclaim your power in a way that's really healthy and fruitful, not just for yourself, but for everybody? That was my little soapbox right there for you. So then we had a second card come through. And this one was a surprise, but it makes so much sense with so much Venus energy, especially Venus in Aquarius. And that is cacao. Cacao. So cacao ruled by Venus and Uranus. Uranus, the modern ruler of Aquarius. So these two energies together, I mean, that's what we're experiencing right now. And cacao, these cards that I'm using, they're from the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck by Adriana Ayales from Anima Mundi. I love, 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 love this deck. I know I've talked about it before, but I think it's so wonderful in the way that she brings so much life to these plant allies in this way, in like kind of like a multidimensional way. But here they list cacao as our initiator. It's connected to initiation and spiritual testing and connection to the cosmic heart and divine love and light beings. Of course, cacao being an ally for so many different civilizations in Mesoamerica, a huge part, a variety of rites and ceremonies, spiritual ceremonies. We see cacao really helping support the nervous system, especially if you are just really tired and exhausted. Kind of help revive the nervous system. It helps with weakness and fatigue and the adrenals. It can help with the kidneys and stimulating those. The adrenals that sit upon the kidneys. It's a beautiful food. It's so high in a variety of minerals and fats, really yummy fats. And of course, so tasty and in all of its various iterations, many different ways to take cacao, even without all of the like that added sugar or milk or any of that. Like cacao itself in its purity with like a little bit of water. So good. And connecting you to your heart and amplifying that connection to the cosmic heart as you move through these initiations, these times of transition, these spiritual tests, if you will. Cacao opens your heart to receive the gifts that are available to you. And really elevating your energy, elevating your frequency to that level of cosmic love, divine love, unconditional love, Christ's love, Christ consciousness. And through that, you're able to step out of your own way,
right?
So I love those two energies together, especially with all of that astrology that we're experiencing and I just went over. Now let's get into Virgo. Virgo and some of the medical astrology aspects when it comes to Virgo. I mentioned ruled by Mercury, that gut-brain connection. We see this mutable earth sign. So of course, Virgo, an earth sign, being connected to the abdomen, the gut brain. So the intelligence is like literally the brain of the gut and the brain. The intestines, digestive tract, part of the liver, especially the purification aspects of the liver and the functions of the liver. We also see it connected to absorption and assimilation and digestive enzymes. Now, through that gut-brain connection and the digestive system, we have our nervous system plugged in there, right? That's what that gut-brain is, all of these neuronal connections and the vagus nerve directly plugging into that area as well, and the solar plexus. This very much connected to that sort of nervous anxiety tension that we can feel in our gut and like the gut-wrenching feelings or the diarrhea that's induced from anxiety or fear or even the constipation. So any kind of issues in terms of indigestion, intestinal disease or imbalances, IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome. We could see diverticulitis, nervous stomach, sour stomach, especially caused by upset or emotional issues, anxiety. We can also see, of course, that constipation and diarrhea, even if it's outside of the IBS picture. And of course, parasites. We can see parasites, worms. We can also see ulcers and hernias in this area too. So these are sort of like extremes, right? Although I will say, parasites are a lot more common than most people think. So if you're a new listener, my background is in clinical nutrition and functional nutrition and herbalism. My have I seen many parasites in my own personal experience, but as well as guiding a lot of different clients through digestive issues. So don't rule that out. Don't be quick to rule that out, because it's incredibly natural. As a human, we are always interfacing with all sorts of critters, from the micro to a little bit larger than to think are living inside of our bodies. Of course, there's other spiritual and energetic components to that. Always. So I teach that inside of a program that I used to offer called Feed Your Wild Gut. And now that's available as a bonus inside of WIP. And if you come into one-on-one mentorship with me, you also get access to these bonus programs. It's like a full 6-7 module program where we dive into all aspects of the gut, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic, and what to do about it, what to do about any kind of that gut dysfunction. So of course, I talk about Virgo. Virgo is really big and ways to help support us. So I mentioned some of these imbalances and diseases connected to the gut, but with Virgo, we also see potential for anxiety, high strung energy, overly critical. These are the imbalances, right? These are not the highest expression or the gifts that I'm talking about. There can also be a little bit of workaholism or self-centeredness, in the sense that your world is centering around self. That's where some of this anxiety comes in, when there's too much focus on the self, which all of us do. But there's just, for some signs, there are just some more tendency for that to occur, and in different ways, right? There's different flavors of it. Of course, there's also that I see this beautiful gift, right, of the organization and attention to detail and all of that. In its lower expression or shadow expression, it could be obsession with cleanliness or fear even of dirt or of germs. So when it comes to the tissue states, so this is from the energetic system of traditional Western herbalism, we see the tissue state of tension, tense tissue state, is the primary tissue state connected with Virgo. And we can see that. That is just sort of intuitive when we think about potential anxiety and nervousness and that gut brain and, you know, the things sort of like getting tense within the gut and the issues that can ensue from that tension. So part of the remedies and what we want to do is to bring some relaxation to that tension, bring some soothing love and attention to the nervous system in that area. So some remedies that are not herbal or food-wise, but remedies in general for life to really help support a Virgo that is imbalanced and or weakened. And so when I say Virgo, I mean like if you have a lot of primary Virgo energy in your chart, you don't have to be a sun Virgo, maybe your Virgo moon, I'd say Virgo moon, especially Virgo rising, or you just have a lot of planets in Virgo, right? If there's a lot of that energy, then you might find that there's a tendency for some of the stuff that I mentioned to come up and be an issue. Creating spaces that feel really supportive and nourishing and healing for yourself, and where you can, like, of course, have it be organized, right? Have it be color coded, but making sure that you have that space for yourself. And that's why I think the altar, like having a literal altar, can be really, really supportive, because it's a form of technology, the altar. And working with that and bringing that focus and attention to something that is external, yet so energetically linked with everything and your intention, I think it's really helpful to sort of funnel that energy to that. Also, being kinder to yourself. I know so many Virgos are just so hard on themselves. And so can you bring a softness? You know, they're not only hard on themselves, but they're hard on others too. They can go really hard on others, especially if you cross them. So can you bring some softness to those relationships, your perspective, and to yourself, of course, and have it not be so, things be so black and white or binary, but invite some nuance, even if it's just a thought experiment. You know, I think it can open up some things for you. And if it's hard for you to do that by yourself, talk to somebody. Virgo, ruled by Mercury, communication, like talking is really important. And so talk to somebody that you trust, talk to a therapist, you know, talk to a professional who knows how to work through this and help support people through this. Talk to loved ones, talk in prayer to the dead, to your ancestors, to loved ones that have crossed over, to your guides and angels. Like, do not underestimate the power of your communication and talking, especially out loud. Even if it's just like into a voice recorder and you just need to sort of sort out your thoughts. Sometimes the only way we can do that is just by blah, like opening up your mouth and releasing it. And if you don't have a container or a person to do that with, like open up your voice memo app and just start talking. The herbs that are really supportive for Virgo are many of the ones that we talk about in general when it comes to supporting the digestive system. Peppermint, fennel, thyme, chamomile, aloe vera, lemon balm. These are all really, really beautiful allies for Virgo in all the different ways and all their different expressions. Licorice is another one. One that I have been working with a lot lately for myself and my little one is fennel, because I feel like fennel is so gentle and so delicious, right? But really helpful, especially if there is a tendency for some tension, irritation in the bowels and like gas. So like for my little one, he sometimes can tend to a little indigestion or some gas after eating foods that are new to him. So fennel has been a really supportive ally. But one herb that I wanted to highlight today, especially, is agrimony. Agrimony. Agrimony is a member of the Rose family, and you know my obsession and connection with Rose. So what's interesting is I have a personal experience with agrimony as well. I'll share about that in just a moment, but it made total sense to me in connection with Rose because it was almost like a different tone of the Rose energy, if you will, that I needed in order to fully express just Rose energy in my life, which is something that I talk about in some previous episodes, and I'll probably continue to do so as my journey continues with Rose. Agrimony is amazing, an amazing remedy for tension. So when we're talking about tension for Virgo, any kind of, especially tension in the digestive system, agrimony is going to be really, really beautiful. Dr. Edward Bach of the Bach Flower Essences, who created the flower essences that we know of today under his name, he says that agrimony is great for tension that is both mental and physical. So this is both for the flower essence and the herbal preparation, like through tincture or tea. It's for the person who tries to hide their tension behind a facade of happiness or cheerfulness or, oh, everything's fine, you know, and just smiling. So denial of the pain and then feeling like they have to put on a smile. And sometimes you can feel like you have to do that to avoid the discomfort of others or just to make it through the day. Like if you're at work, you know, or if you have children and you don't want to be a burden to others, that's where a lot of this is coming through. But there's also a potential issue that is a little bit more extreme that Bach points out. These people, agrimony people, want to escape the pain. And so they will do whatever they can to do that, such as utilizing substances, drugs, alcohol, stimulants, sex to escape the pain, to avoid really feeling into the pain. A lot of times the issues can be around hierarchical relations and also in business or at work. So it could be like employee, employer, it could be in relationship, but it could just be like within yourself too. Sort of like you feel like you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Agrimony is astringent. So it's interesting to think about that because usually you would say, well, do you use an astringent when there's tension? And what agrimony is really helpful for is when there's sort of like disorientation with tension and relaxation. Like it's not working properly. You're the natural waves of tension and relaxation within the body and the functions of the body have incorrect timing or they're off rhythm. So that's where we'll see IBS. That's where we'll see you'll have loose stools and then you'll have constipation, right? Or you'll have loose stools that float a lot. And so there's like weird timing happening when it comes to the digestion of your food because it's going really fast, but also the bile, the release of bile from your gallbladder and liver. And all of that coming through in kind of a timing that is not really helpful. So agrimony is really good in its ability to sort of harmonize and bring back that rhythm to the tension and relaxation that is most natural within our bodies. I've mostly worked with agrimony as a flower essence, and it actually was indicated for me with a specific issue that I've been working on. And I work with my kinesiologist. Her name is Carrie Rowett. She actually tested some flower essences and agrimony came up and it fit so well as it pertained to the specific issue that I was working on that I will not divulge because it's very private and involves other people. But there was something in me that almost wanted to deny that this was a match for me, right? Because that's how strong that mask is, and that desire for things to be okay when they're actually not. And that's what I was talking about with the integrity piece. It's about authenticity and alignment. So it's about matching our internal state with the external and bringing in authenticity to communication and external relating that is often masked. So it really helps to assist in integrating the truth of what you're actually perceived, like your perceived felt reality, and allowing your heart in the Rose family, right? It's a Rose family after all, allowing your heart to see this hard truth and accept it. So I used the flower essence on my pulse points, actually, on some pulse points that helped me, as well as ingesting it. And it has been really gentle in its work, but totally illuminating. Like when I look over a few weeks of working with it, it's like day and night. So I know that this was really helpful for me. I hope if this is resonating for you, try it out for yourself. When we look at even repressed anger or frustration, those that have trouble either expressing it or they just have, they don't know what to do with it, right? Especially intense old wounds that are really deep within. Maybe they're residue from past lives, right? Maybe they're residue or inherited wounds from your maternal, paternal line, from your ancestors. Whatever it may be, it needs to come up and out and expressed in the highest way possible. And agrimony is one of those that those allies that can work wonder for individuals who have a difficult time expressing those inner demons or shadows or repressed emotions. And maybe it's easier for them to hold on to resentment that can just sort of mess up or obscure our ability to see clearly. And here we are in Pisces season, right? So we want as much support as we can get in terms of seeing clearly in this time. And what can this look like when we are holding on to those repressed emotions, or we're not in authentic expression or alignment with what we are actually feeling, like inside out, right? Those are that mirroring. I would argue most physical expressions, like especially with chronic illness, have seeds of repressed emotions, especially anger. So it's really important that we give ourselves all that we need in order to release those and express those in the best way possible. We can cause digestive issues and deterioration, of course, in this theme of Virgo, and that nervous, like shutting down of your nervous system or just wreaking havoc on your nervous system. And also hormonal imbalance, imbalances with your fluids, imbalances with even your ability to digest, utilize, absorb the things that you're bringing into your body, the nourishment. And with all of that imbalance, the life forces, that vital life force, can't flow in the way that it needs to. So agrimony is really helpful in its stimulation, like getting things going and also healing the mucous membranes that are connected within the digestive system and stimulating bile production. Agrimony is really great for supporting the digestive tract in that way. And agrimony also can help support with ulcers and the tension, the chronic tension that is held in the gut. It's an ally for the liver and gallbladder. And through TCM, we see that the liver is very much connected to anger and holding on of anger. So agrimony can help support to digest, metabolize, and release that. Agrimony was another plant ally that was used in the past, and I'm sure many people are using it currently, to clear and cleanse negative energies, parasitic energies, and to ward off curses and hexes and all of that good stuff. You can work with the flower essence, as I had mentioned, or you can brew yourself a simple infusion, a tea, or work with agrimony as a tincture. And always, 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 I say with all herbs, except for like extra super gentle ones like chamomile, always start small. Always start small with your dosages and then just start to play around and be in tune with your body's needs and your own intuition around how much you need. Some of the resources that I utilized for my deep dive into agrimony when it was indicated for me, Matthew Wood, the Earthwise Herbal books that he has and other writings. He also has some courses online that are really great. And Crystal Woodling from the School of Heaven and Earth. I really loved those two, what they brought to in their highlights of agrimony that really helped me to integrate and understand it more deeply when working with this plant. All right, so that is what I have for you for this full moon in Virgo. Once again, if you're interested in diving deeper into these realms of becoming an intuitive healer, accessing your psychic and intuitive powers and becoming an oracle in your own right, and especially in Pisces season, I invite you to check out my new one-on-one Akashic mentorship called Awaken the Oracle Within. You'll be initiated into the Akashic records, tap into your intuitive gifts of intuition, channeling, and healership. Create a unique body of work and really find clarity in your highest purpose as healer and lightworker with me in your back pocket supporting you on your path to initiation. You can go to wildlyrooted.com/oracle to learn more and apply. With that, I'm sending you so much love and blessings on this full moon and beyond. Until next time.